With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on black and white and red all over. This is your host Danny coming to you for episode number 16, the Mariel Herman Camoronesi episode. Or we could go Reto Ziegler, whichever one you guys.
Does that count?
All day.
Does that even count?
If you want to count preseason friendly, sure.
Did he even play in a preseason friendly? I don't even remember.
Also, we can't forget, you know, it could also be episode Juan Cuadrado.
Yeah.
Respectively.
Yes.
Respectively.
Or the original Carlo Pensolio. So we could go that route too. Let me bring in the crew here, starting with Sam Lopresti. Hello, Sam.
How's it going, Danny? I'm excited for this one.
Yes, we've got Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Hello, everyone. I do prefer Reto Ziegler because for some reason he sounds like a Bond villain, you know. Reto Ziegler. Bond stepped into the room and there he was, Reto Ziegler smell. But yeah, good afternoon, everyone.
We've got the hooded wonder, Sergio Romero. Hello, Sergio.
Hey, Phyllis. How you doing? About Reto Ziegler, for whatever reason, I know he plays in the MLS now. Like,
he does.
I'm pretty sure he plays in FC Dallas or something. So
he does.
You know, if you want to go watch a true Juventus legend live, you know, I mean, I recommend that you go watch FC Dallas. Truly, truly a sight to behold, really.
And one of the few MLS clubs that are actually, for whatever reason, allowing people into the stands these days. So FC Dallas.
Oh, Texas.
Exactly. And we've got a special guest on this week's episode, one of Sam's good Juventus friends, Tal. Hello, Tal.
Hi. Thank you for having me, guys.
And why don't we start with our guest, as we're learning a little bit about you pre-show, pre-recording here. You and Sam are very much responsible for the, I believe, the New York Juventus
Empire
supporters.
Empire State
Juventus supporters club. So I guess just, if you want, take us back in the DeLorean and...
Do you want me to start there? Do you want me to give background on like how I became a Juve fan? I can start wherever you want.
That's a fun story, actually. Do with that.
So I mean, a lot of people like my entry into Juventinihood, which is basically when I was 10, I moved to Israel, and all I did with my cousins there was play FIFA, Pro Evolution, Winning 11. I even remember that red card game. That was a fun one. So all we did was play, you know, soccer video games, football video games. And I was always garbage, just absolute trash. And not very good to this day. But once one of my cousins recommended that I play, oh, there's this other Italian team. You seem to like some of the Italian players. Like, you try these guys out. They're pretty good, da-da-da-da-da. Because I was only going for, like, the 5-star teams, and Juve was, like, 4.5 at that point. But the second I got my hands on that Juve squad, I started winning games. So I wasn't bad at FIFA anymore. And it just kind of snowballed from there. The more I started to learn about the club, the more I was interested in it. Also living in Israel, I was able to get European broadcasts of a lot of games. So watching things like regular season matches and Champions League was like a regular thing. There wasn't like a really intense sports package that was needed to be able to watch that stuff. So my access to it was really easy. And then when I moved back to the States, I was able to just kind of follow stuff on online as much as there was that wasn't in Italian. So I was really, really mostly able to see like scores and like who scored and stuff like that. Until I, at around 17, got a job at a bar and they had a sports package. So sometimes I'd catch music games there. And then I turned 21 and I started going to Legends on 33rd Street in Manhattan. And that's where I met Sam. Sam, what day was it exactly?
It said February 16th, 2013.
A day that will live in infamy.
I'll tell you what, Jack Keane, the proprietor of the Football Factory downstairs, is probably really loving because we get him, you know, we get our guys in there. I had discovered Legends only a couple of months before. I'd gone to watch I'd searched for sports for soccer bars in the city, and I had found a Coppa Italia game between Juve and AC Milan. And that was the first game I watched there. And a couple of months later, it was a game against Roma. Juve ended up losing. It was on a rocket shot from Francesco Totti in the second half. And I remember
that. I wasn't even mad. It was like one of those ones you can't even be mad at losing after
a shot. Yeah, it's like six goalkeepers wouldn't have stopped that shot. But I happened to be wearing I own several relatively good knockoff kits, one of which was the Betclic Buffon with the like kind of the black and the big white rectangle Betclic and like the red and green going down the sides. And Tal commented on the keeper's kit because he didn't see them very often at that point. And that was the first time we met. And as we kept on starting to see each other more and more, we started really becoming really good friends. And that was the beginning of it. And
then I started to get really mad that there was no official fan club at that bar.
Yeah.
Jack said it best. He was like, just send them a photo of you guys in front of the Empire State Building, which is across the street, literally. and they'll fly someone out here to start a fan club for you. And basically,
that's exactly what happened.
We started making a lot of noise about trying to get the fan club up off the ground. Sam and myself, there were a lot of other people involved.
Let's backtrack for a second up to the pre-official days and the hostile takeover that we had to stage, because that was a thing.
There was a coup.
Yeah, we essentially, there was in name a Juventus club at Legends. It was run by somebody who was very inattentive, did not really do a lot of organizing.
I never met the person.
You never met the you better off. You know, we had always been thinking, this is Juventus. There should be more than half a dozen of us here, especially for the big games. With some help from I know I spearheaded this and another couple of other friends of ours. For the final in Berlin against Barcelona, we packed the place. And we were like, there has to be something with this. And so we started, first we kind of inquired with the person who was running it, whether she was interested in, you know, kind of handing stuff off or, you know, getting more help. And she was very, very protective of her position as leader, air quotes, and really didn't do it. So we started, basically there were about half a dozen of us that started essentially staging a hostile takeover. We created social media accounts and everything like that. We actually have a very good relationship with the AC Milan club that also goes to that bar. And so we kind of launched our version of the club the first day that year that we played Milan, because they had a very large social media group, so they started boosting us.
So they basically immediately endorsing us as the Manhattan-based Juve fan club kind of solidified us, and then we had like a big flag to go with that. If you ever go to Legends, any supporters clubs that are there, they all have like huge 8x12-foot flags that are hung when your team plays. We have a brand new one that's gorgeous.
Yeah, Flag 2.0 is wonderful.
When it's safe to do so. And from there, it really started to escalate to the point where we're like, okay, like, let's go official. And at that point, we had already acquired, like, really great members like JP Lazo, Marshall Maruca, who were able, really instrumental in going official after that, because we were basically making so much noise as an unofficial fan club that Juve kind of hit us up. I remember getting a Facebook message from somebody that was like, hi, my name is, I'm not going to name this person, and I work on the marketing team for Juve. I understand that you are interested in starting a fan club. Would you be, you know,
it wasn't Reto Ziegler
talking to me when I'm in the city, and I'm like, are you kidding? Yes. Like, when, like, where, do you want me to pick you up at the airport? Like, what's going on? So it snowballed from there. You know, we've been official since 2017, you know, unofficially started in 2015. So it kind of took Sam and I, you know, 2 years or so to kind of get an unofficial thing started. And then we went official in 2017. And I mean, the rest is history. I think we've just been growing every year since then, and our numbers are better, and we're able to provide kind of a better package in terms of what it is about. I highly recommend you check out, we have our new website, and you can learn all about us on our website. It's JuventusClubEmpireState.com.
And anyone that, you know, anyone that's in the New York area, if and it's not just New York City. I mean, I live in Jersey City right across the river. Tal's in Connecticut now.
And I'm the president.
You know, a lot of, you know, the two people that, the two board members that Tal mentioned, JP and Marcella, are both in Long Island. So we're not just, we don't just serve.
And I can't, you know, also, you know, I can't just, because even though she was not involved in the establishment, she's instrumental in the continued running of the club.
Yeah, she is.
Sabrina Frucci has to be mentioned. Anytime our club is mentioned, you know, I feel like all of the board members have to be mentioned, myself kind of last, but I'm usually the one doing all the talking. So I kind of introduce myself in that vein. You know, it's really a big team effort, and we try to, you know, incorporate as much from member feedback as we can all the time. You know, Sam knows, being a member of the board and part of the board process and everything like that.
Yeah. I just stepped away from board duties because I had some other family obligations that I had to deal with, and I wasn't going to have the time anymore. So I just, I've recently stepped away from that. I'm just an ordinary member now, but I love it. But just to say,
but now he gets to enjoy what him and I always talked about, you know, back in 2014.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Which is there being a club that's good, that has events, that does stuff that we can sit back and enjoy and just be a member of.
Yeah, and also one last thing, because one of the things that Tal and I set out to do when we really started to go official was not only to start a club here in the city, but also to set a model for other Juventini in North America and anywhere that want to, that might want to do the same thing. So if you not only, you know, if you're not in the New York area, but you know of a place, you know, if there's a Juventus community in your area that you might want to start, that you might want to start this journey yourself, if you were to contact the club, we would absolutely help you with that and start you on that process and give you this any support that you needed.
So could you describe kind of like the governing structure of you guys, just like of the supporters club? Like you mentioned the board, like, could you like, talk about that a bit more?
We have a board, you know, we are probably going to at some point have to, you know, bring another person, because we like to have five. That's a good round odd number. But just given COVID and everything, that's kind of not on the cards for us right now. It's myself, the president, and then four board members, but it's not like, you know, I hold any additional sway or anything like that. You know, we really just kind of democratically figure out what people want. We've been doing a lot of like social media surveys to kind of figure out like, hey, we want to do this t-shirt. Do you like this design or this design? You know what I mean? And it's not necessarily that, but in that kind of vein, we have some ideas for this year of what we're going to do. We've launched something called the City Pass, which is, you know, these are all things that we have to work to set up. So like the City Pass is, it's, you know, we've been partnering with some businesses to get you a little discount code. Actually, wait, let me give you 1 second. I'll get you the City Pass. I have it. This card in the mail, and this QR code, you scan it, and on the Juve, the JOFC website, there's the list of all the places that you would get benefits at. you know, it's $15 off, maybe a this, maybe a that. You know, we're kind of negotiating with different businesses as they see fit. And if any, you know, businesses in the New York area are listening, feel free to find us on our website and reach out to us if you want to, you know, partner up and work on the CityPass project.
So I guess knowing that this pandemic has changed a lot of things for a whole lot of people, what has it been like knowing that you guys obviously have been meeting at Legends for years now? And then all of a sudden you're now either cooped up watching a Juventus game at home by yourself or just kind of with a very select few people. And I guess that's for Sam and Utah.
Well, I would say, you know, we did do it at the beginning of the pandemic, right when games first start. Well, I wouldn't say at the beginning of the pandemic. I would say like right, you know,
at the beginning of the restart.
At the beginning of the restart of Serie A, we did Zoom. We did a lot of Zoom matches. It was so-so, you know what I mean? It's kind of difficult when everyone's kind of on a different game stream. So somebody like celebrates or like jeers and then you're like, oh, I didn't see that. And then you're like, it's kind of spoilery. So, you know, that fizzled out kind of. You know, I'm just crossing my fingers that I'll be able to, you know, go back to Legends.
And Legends has been doing some outdoor dining. We did, Tal and Marcella were out there at their outdoor area for the Lazio game.
I was supposed to be in the stadium for the Lazio game.
Yeah, that was upsetting. There was that trip on that having to cancel the trip was one of the most unfortunate things.
We were going to be we were going to take a bunch of our members as a whole group out to Turin. We were going to see Juve Lazio. We were also scheduled to see the women play and the Primavera play.
Yeah. Women 2-0 victors today, by the way.
So. Yeah. Love my J ladies.
And actually, on that note, like, how much, since we're talking about the Juventus ladies, like, how much is the fan club, like, kind of incorporating the games of the Juventus women? Like, so, how's that changed recently, I guess? Like,
it's not super easy to watch them. You kind of need the Juve TV thing.
I can confirm that. It is. unless you have JTV, it is a chore.
Yeah, but there's a fan club in Torino called the Domino Fan Club, and they are basically like the fan club for the women's team, and they're like at every game. And we were gonna go, we, you know, had established a relationship with them, we were gonna go check them out and meet up with them. They're really cool people, and they were kind of our lifeline to the women's club and how to kind of access tickets for that, because it's kind of nebulous right now. I mean, you know, Serie A, the female Serie A, I think, might still technically be a semi-pro league.
Yep. They're not going to be professionals for at least a couple more years.
Yeah. So the infrastructure around it is not as kind of built up yet. So it's really difficult. I would love for there to be more access because, like, no lie, like, I'd love to watch a Juve squad beat someone 7-0 and, like, not have to have a heart attack because, like, we might, you know, crap the bed in the last 20 minutes of the game. Is that so much to ask for? And if I have to watch, like, you know, I remember saying this when we went to go to one of the, like, summer events, and I remember one of our members was complaining about, you know, oh, you know, none of the stars show up. Dybala's not here. You know, they're not bringing this guy. They're not bringing that
guy.
It was a World Cup year.
Of course they're not going to be there.
Yeah, right. So, but at the same time, they're complaining. I'm like, guys, we go to see the stripes, not the numbers on the back, you know? So, like, I don't care if it's women wearing the stripes. I want them to score goals. I want to see that happen. And the women sometimes play better than the men do. So, like, it's really not that bad of a thing to watch. Like, I'm interested in watching it. I know a lot of members are interested too. I find, at least from the Empire State crowd, there is want for to be there, for there to be more engagement with the female team, because, like I said, a lot of people share the same opinion. It's Juve. You know what I mean? I want to watch Juve. The other day I watched Juve Real Madrid U19 Champions League. All right? I mean, you know, just like the senior team, they managed to blow a 1-0 lead against 10 men, but
at least they're consistent.
You know what I mean? It's consistency. So, you know, that's in the Juve DNA right now. That's also something that we need to change, which is a great transition segment, you know?
The young fellows are already on their way. I mean, that's good to know.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah. But, you know, you mentioned, obviously, you know, right now with COVID and the lockdown, you know, it's kind of hard to get together. But I don't know, maybe you could, because, you know, I think part of being a fan, it is that thing of community. It is that thing of, like, you know, having that same interest with people that care about the same thing. So I don't know if you could, like, tell us maybe, you know, a time or two when you kind of like got together a big group, or like what was your biggest event to watch a game or something that was particularly memorable?
I mean, you know, the recent Champions League finals that we were able to participate in, I think were a fantastic show of force in a lot of ways. And I like to say show of force because, like, I remember when we were in Cardiff, I remember, you know, it's, you have a sea of black and white. And then, like, a Real Madrid fan walks down into the basement at Legends and was like, I am afraid. I am outnumbered. I have no idea. Like, this is completely foreign to me. Like, where are all the Cristiano Ronaldo jerseys? You know what I mean? And you know, that's the kind of effect that we've been able to have. And for Juventino, for a guy who's, like, you know, not always able to see a guy, and I'm saying this, you know, this is for me personally, and I think it resonates for Sam, but I can't speak for everyone, that seeing a large group like that and outnumbering the Real Madrid fans or outnumbering the Barca fans is amazing. It gives you, like, a huge – I mean, like, when I do that, I'm like, yeah, this is why I don't care that I don't get paid for all the work that I do.
The Barca 3-0 in the Champions League, that was also one of, I think, one of the cooler –
The Champions League suit days.
When you came in the suit. And unfortunate for, there was this, you know, we had like a solid side of one of the bar. And I think there was another game on the other side. But there was this poor family that was on vacation in New York from Catalonia who had decided to come to to Legends to watch the game.
Made the mistake of coming to watch our bar.
And they're this family sitting, like, kind of secluded towards the corner with their meal, watching the game. We're going nuts. And I remember the second goal, Dybala's second goal, our friend Mattia, who is very tall and was standing behind me, grabbed me around the waist and just started flinging me. And my beer flew out of my hand and went all over these poor people. That was just, and also you remember Tal. During that whole run through, I had gotten Jack to plug in my phone and play the anthem when we won Champions League games. Yes. And there was, and so, like, during, those games against Barcelona and against Monaco, after, when the game was over, I would run to the bar and Jack would give me an aux cable and I'd plug it in real quick and I'd start playing Storia d'un grande amore on Spotify, and the entire bar, it, you know, would just start echoing with everybody there singing and dancing and jumping on each other. There are some great, on our Facebook page, there are still some great videos if you dig that far of people who recorded videos and of those games, of those days, and posted them. That was such, and that, like you said, Sergio, that's how it, you know, just like that feeling of being with this group that you just, like, in those moments, you just love the other humans around you unconditionally, regardless of how well you know them. It's just so good.
There's also, you know, even smaller things too that were, you know, really, I think, meaningful for us. You know, Jack, if there were games that were broadcasting at 6 a.m., he would open the bar. He was, like, not legally allowed to serve anything, but would let us come. He would even let us bring, like, I he can no longer do this. Also, I remember that family in Catalonia. This was like renegotiation of their liquor license.
Before the liquor license happened.
So now no minors are allowed in the basement, but they had like a little kid with them that was well doused in beer. legally, of course.
Externally.
Externally. Yeah, and so like being there for a 6 a.m. game, even, you know what I mean? Yeah,
those 6:30 games were fun because Jack would let us bring our own food. The one thing he would do was give us pint glasses of coffee.
He wouldn't serve us coffee.
Those games were really fun. He's unfortunately, like Tal said, not very, very not allowed to do those anymore for us.
Yeah.
But when we did, just like, you know, getting on a train, getting on a train going down and like waiting for him to just like pop his head out and unlock the door and let us come down. Those were fun.
Yeah. It was almost like a, you know, secret knock, cloak and dagger kind of like, we're going to go sneak down to this bar at 6 a.m. and watch a game. And then I can't believe we forgot this, but the day we met Andrea Agnelli was also.
The day we met Agnelli was really interesting. That was during the comeback season. Where we had the horrible start and then started coming back, and who we were playing, I think it was Empoli we were playing.
I think it was Atalanta.
Of those two teams. And, you know, it was one of those games where we had where we scored a bunch of ugly goals and won the game. And there was a guy sitting next to me that day. His name was
Tomas. Well, I remember this vividly. I'll never forget this. So if you let me, please.
Please go ahead.
Couple of times, like I went to the bathroom and I get back from the bathroom and I like lean over to Sam and I'm like, doesn't that guy look just like Andrea Agnelli? That's so funny. I'm like, how coincidental, like you get a guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That looked like Agnelli coming to watch Juve. And then we lean over and an Italian guy who was there for a couple of months working came over to us and was like, guys, that's Andrea Agnelli. I'm sure of it. And I lean over to the bartender and I ask Jack, I'm like, Jack, do you have that guy's credit card? And I'm like, I don't need to see it. I don't want to see it or anything. I just said, read me the name on his credit card. And he looks
at legal.
Turns around and he just is like.
Just a nod.
Just nodding.
And then
so we waited till after the game, and then he was kind enough to take pictures with everyone.
No, and
so he wasn't nodding because he got you the numbers?
No.
Also remember Tal, also remember Jack, because Jack, when he realized what was going on, he came out and started schmoozing with Agnelli and started Jack is a huge Manchester United fan, so he started talking about the Cup Winners' Cup final that we had against Manchester United years ago and schmoozed with him. And then a couple of weeks later, after a game, Jack tells us to wait up for a second, and he brings us to like the corner of the bar and he produces this postal like envelope, and inside of it was a Pogba jersey, a number 10 Pogba jersey signed by pretty much the entire team.
It was like every starter had signed
yeah.
it. And then there was a handwritten note from Andrea Agnelli to Jack.
Yeah.
It's framed
it's framed. We have a little curva in one like arch of the wall. And that's framed up. There's another jersey, a couple of our scarves. That was a day, man. And it was a good, you know, he wanted, and Agnelli, he was obviously trying to keep a low profile, but he was also very nice. He took pictures with anybody who asked after the game.
I think the key was that we waited till after the game to talk to him, because it was like way before halftime that we realized, and like smoke a cigarette at halftime, and we were like, no, I'm like, we cannot bother him, like he will run away, like we wanted to be super respectful. And I was like,
yeah.
And now he's smoking a cigarette, sounds about right.
Yeah, I wanted to bum a cigarette off of him. I wanted to do it so bad. Just to be like, I saw Andrea Agnelli and I bummed a cigarette off of him. But I did not want to like be that guy. Because I was clearly wearing a Juve jersey, and if I'm talking to him, I clearly know who he is.
And so, sorry, I missed the bits and pieces of the story because I had to open the door for my girlfriend's son. But so, during which game was this?
I think it was Atalanta.
It was either Atalanta or like Empoli, or it was.
I remember
it was
a like, blue jersey. That's what I remember.
Yeah, it was like November-ish, I think.
It was definitely November-ish because I was coming back from a conference that's around the same time every year.
Yeah, you had come straight from the airport.
I had come straight from the airport. I had dropped my bags. I was still hungover. And I just showed up. And I was like one of those things where, like, I would have never forgiven myself if I would have gone to bed off of getting off the red eye and missing Andrea Agnelli being there. But, like, being crap tired. Because
it was a 9 a.m. game. That was the other thing.
Yeah, it was a 9 a.m. So I was like, do I go to sleep or do I just go to the bar right now? So we obviously know that I chose the latter.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's a fascinating story. I mean, really just really cool story.
I think it's still like my cover photo on Facebook.
It is.
On Facebook. Yeah.
It is.
I'm super fat there and I have really curly hair.
And what season was it? You said it was in November, but like what season?
It was our first season.
15-16.
I see.
Man, Chuck's is determined to find the match recap from that game.
Yeah, no.
I see the wheels spinning.
Yeah, I mean, we could. I mean, hell, I might just like kind of dig into the archives and see if I could find something. Actually,
well, I mean, you got to look around November and look what games there are, and look if it's either Empoli or Atalanta. It was one of the two, and there you go.
Yeah. No, I also have another question. I was fascinated by the part that you. You kind of described in the beginning when, you know, you guys were just starting out and then you got the email from, like, the marketing, I guess, director or something. So, like, what is you guys, like, as a fan club, like, what is your relationship with Juventus itself? Like what is
so, it? There is a section of Juve, of the Juve HQ, if you would, that is the JOFC program, the Juventus Official Fan Club program. And you know, we have to sign, you know, a charter. We have like terms and conditions that we have to follow. You know, we can't like use the Juve logo, misrepresent the team or anything like that. You know, we can be reprimanded for anything like that or have our charter taken away or anything like that. Not like it's, you know, it's like pretty severe stuff that we wouldn't do, like, you know, like using personally profiting off of the club, you know what I mean? Or, you know, exorbitantly overcharging people. And
the club, the club is a registered nonprofit.
Yeah. That was also a recommendation. It was not a recommendation. It was a requirement. So, you know, we have to also file taxes every year and stuff like that. You know, it's definitely, you know, we have to operate, the more we operate like a business and the more we operate like a, you know, kind of bigger organization kind of, or more structured organization or corporate, if you would, I think the better off we are, because that aligns more with kind of Juve HQ structure. And yeah, I mean, like, we really kind of get our marching orders from Juve HQ a lot of the times, but they kind of also are like, these are the things you can't do, go do whatever you want. And the main thing is interacting with them for getting tickets. I would say that getting match tickets is the greatest benefit for a JOFC. You know, other than the community, which, you know, has its own value in the lifelong friends that you'll meet. But, you know, I can't guarantee you're going to get along with everybody or you're going to show up at the bar every week. You know, I've made many lifelong friends from it. But that's what you get is match tickets, really, is access to match tickets. And
sticker price match tickets, it should be said.
Yes.
Not like, you know, on
going through like Viagogo, which is like the European StubHub, where you have to, like, you know, you buy a 300 euro ticket for Juve Pescara and you get it and it's literally on the ticket printed 35 euro cost, and you realize that, you know, you got overcharged by 1,000+%, whatever, and you know, you'd much rather just pay the 35 euro. Now you think of it like, whoa, that's, you know, a whole basically 325 euro that I get to spend on my vacation now in jerseys or whatever, or, you know, it's like free money basically. That's why I like to think about it. And it's
travel agent start speaking.
Well, look, you know, yes, I also, you know, in my day job, non-COVID, I work at a travel agency. So I also can facilitate the travel for people cheaply. Also, part of the charter is, like, I am not allowed to, like, make money off of the travel aspect of it too. So I don't. I just get the cheapest price, and that's what I give everyone. And that's literally it. Yeah, I hope I answered that question.
No, I mean, definitely. Yeah. And I mean, it's just fascinating. I mean, I work for a nonprofit myself. So I understand definitely the point of making that a nonprofit or a social kind of institution, social membership club, really.
Yeah.
That, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. I think just legally, you're going to insulate yourself there from a lot of problems. Kind of as a side note.
Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no, as a side note, I just looked on, did some quick research. 8th of November, 2015, Empoli against Juventus. That is so the
likely
closest. Yeah, that's the closest I can find.
Let me do some quick searching on Facebook, and I'll find the what day I posted that. It was probably the same day.
And that was that definitely was one of the ugly goals games, I guarantee you, because we had fallen behind. Then Mandzukic 32, Evra 38, Dybala 84.
Yeah. Magone in the 19th minute. Seen that there, so that's pretty interesting. I guess one more question I have, and then I guess we can.
Yeah, go ahead.
To like transfer rumors and all that. In terms of like, I mean, as a fan of club, definitely one of the biggest things is like, you know, like I said, you guys are a social membership club, and it's just really, it's about that community of people. Are you guys involved in any way in like, just in, with like the city, like with New York, like with the city council or like mayors or like, you know, how are you guys kind of involved in the community?
Not so much with, you know, the Napolitano mayor, but like we marched in the Columbus Day Parade. We were in the Columbus Day Parade. I wore the mascot. I was Jay.
He was Jay.
The mascot. I nearly died.
I told you. It's funny too.
Speaking with Jay, this is our greatest podcast achievement. We're technically speaking with Jay.
So.
It's funny because if I hadn't had the bounce, I probably would have been the one in it.
We're supposed to freeze huge ice packs that will go in the suit and buy batteries for the fans that are in the head. That was not done. It was a warm.
Didn't we get the fans going? I thought we got the fans going at least.
I don't remember fans working.
Okay, you would have been.
I was on the inside of that.
You were on the inside. I was standing next to you for most of the march, making sure that you didn't drop, making sure that you didn't fall over.
There's a really good photo of me somewhere that a photographer took of me sitting on the back of a golf cart with the head right next to me. That was fun though. That was a lot of fun, and like, you know, we try to do stuff like that. A lot of it sometimes involves like a financial contribution. We did participate in a huge fundraiser for the city, like New York City Kicks Corona. I don't know if you guys heard about that. We were big in that. Marcella was a huge, huge instrumental person for us in that.
And there's also the Calcetto tournaments that you guys take part that we'll take part in, not so easy to do now.
There was one more thing. What am I thinking of? When there was the in earlier 19 when there was the Australian the bushfire in Australia.
Oh yeah, the fires.
The Melbourne club to also do a fundraiser. So I guess not so much with the city, but you know, we do kind of like as a nonprofit kind of flex those nonprofit muscles when we can, and to try to get kind of Juve members involved because you know, we have a tendency to be good people.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I mean, I love hearing that. I'm always so fascinated just by like the intersection between like, you know, football and like society and just like, you know, how you can be involved in just a direct community and just like be a part of, you know, the community. And that's great to hear. And kind of as a nonprofit guy, do you guys write grants or anything, or do you receive any grants?
No, I wish. We barely, like, we try to just keep all of our costs low. Every cent that comes in literally just goes back to, like, you know, buying merch so people can have.
But then the funding comes from what Juventus itself?
No, the funding comes from, I mean, the membership is, there's a fee for the membership. So I think this year new members is 50 and returning members is 45 or whatever. I don't remember off the top of my head. Again, go check the website. It's all on the website. So that's where our funding comes from, you know, but we make, you know, your $40 a year worth it. I mean, if you think of the money that you save if you go to one match, this is what I say to people. it's worth it if you think you might want to go to a match this season. Because, I mean, realistically, you know, if I understand, you know, especially now, you know, it's not easy for everyone. Times are tight for a lot of people with unemployment. So, but that little bit of money that you put forward, you know, and again, we try to every year, and Sam can attest to this, we build on the what is the member bundle, what is the member package that you get as a member, and what the benefits are. You know, every year we try to add some bullet points to that benefit list so that, you know, the tickets start to feel more like an icing on top, the cherry on top of the cake versus, you know, the whole cake.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Speaking of a cherry on top of the cake, Sergio, how much would a cherry on top of the cake be if Juventus signed Raul Jimenez?
We're a pretty damn big cherry, I'll tell you that. I mean, the rumors are still going, but if the latest valuation is actually true, like if it's an actual real valuation that the club is giving for the guy, which is 90 million euros, that is an insane valuation. Like, there is no way that, you know, it's anything remotely realistic, you know? I mean, the guy's a good player. He had a really good season. Obviously, his, you know, market value is at an all-time high. There is no way that he should be worth that much. There's no way that anybody will pay that much for him. If that is the actual valuation, then I guess we can start kissing that Mexican in Juventus dream goodbye, because there's no way that's actually going to happen. Even if you include Aaron Ramsey and, you know, whoever you want
to. You still willing to drive Ramsey and Rugani and anybody else to Wolverhampton?
Listen, I'll do it. I just don't think they'll take them. Like, I mean, how much are you going to sell Ramsey and Rugani for? Like, I mean, you know, let's be real here. Even if you include those two in the deal, I mean, you probably still have to pitch in, what, like 50 million? I mean, you know, it's especially, we were talking about it before the recording began with everyone, but you know, the way they're just throwing out numbers right now in the swap season and this transfer season in general is absolutely, you know, it's insane. It's Fugazi numbers, straight up.
The numbers are insane. I mean, he had a good season as far as a good balance between, I know it was pretty balanced between goals and assists. I don't remember exactly. I think he hit high teens in the goals, right? What, like 19? But I just, you know, it's not like buying Higuain for 90 million after he broke the scoring record of the league. You know what I mean? This is a guy that's had like the kind of season every striker should be having, realistically, if you're a starting striker in any of the top five leagues, and then you go ahead and slap a 90 million valuation on the guy. I don't see it. I also think in such a short turnaround, bringing in a striker that's a little bit more experienced in Serie A might be better. If we're going to go after anyone, I really think that Zapata is the move. I think
Duvan.
I'm a big fan of Zapata. I think he would not put too much stress on our wage bill. I think that, you know, Jimenez coming from England, they kind of all kind of come with a higher wage packet. And then also, you know, their president and operational manager, George Mendes, Mendes, as we all know, who basically runs that team behind the closed doors, you know, he's not going to take anyone who's not Portuguese. So, you know, Wolverhampton, a.k.a. the Portuguese national team, minus Ronaldo. Like, the only one he'll take for Jimenez is Ronaldo, I think. So we're kind of screwed.
Whoa, sell Ronaldo to Wolves. I love that. Let's do it.
No, you're for Jimenez at Juve, even at the cost of Ronaldo.
100%. Let's do it.
Oh, well, you know,
you know how crazy it would be. Do you know how crazy it would be to see Ronaldo in a Wolves jersey? Like, that would be, like, I mean, that's the most, you know, I mean, I would just do it for that. That'd be hilarious.
That's fair.
If there's anything we know, right after.
For what it's worth, it's 21 goals, 9 assists he had this season, which again, great season. Assists.
Okay.
Like, so good season, but
that's a solid season. But
no way that's a 90 million euro striker. No, I mean, no. There's no way.
If you said 75 or 65, I would say that's like we can negotiate. I much prefer the rumors right now that have Ramsey going to United for just some money. Including potentially Douglas Costa also going. And if they don't want that, you know, and if they take Douglas Costa and Aaron Ramsey, I will give them half price on Bernadeschi.
If there's anything we know from this podcast is that Sergio just wants chaos. Sergio thrives on the chaos.
And he wants to be able to say that there's a Mexican on Juventus.
Yes.
100%. That's the whole case. That's the whole end scenario. Like, if I manage to make that happen, to talk that into existence, my work here is done. I don't want anything else from life.
Really. When it comes to, like, I've only seen this sparingly, but I did see at least one rumor when it comes to a striker regarding Alvaro Morata. And the more I thought about that, the more I actually thought it might work. I mean, you look at a guy like Morata.
Get the gang back together.
Not only get the gang back together, but he has extensive experience working off of Cristiano Ronaldo from both before and after he was with Juve. He has extensive experience working with Paulo Dybala for the years that they were together at Juventus. He's still relatively young. He's still pretty young.
What is he, 27, 28?
And I also really do think that he has a genuine love for the club that, you know, that he would not have left if he had had a choice to, with Real Madrid having that buyback clause. And also, I think I said this in the last episode when it came to, you know, the coaching staff and things like Igor Tudor and kind of reinstating the Juventinita that we seem to kind of have been leaking away these last few years. Get a guy, you know, a guy like Morata, a guy that knows how that is. I think that could be an interesting proposition, especially since he knows how to work off of our two main attacking talents.
For all the statisticians amongst you, that would be the third time Morata would be returning to his former club. First with Real Madrid.
That's wild.
Then with Atletico Madrid. Then now with Juventus. That'll be the third time.
I feel like it would be appropriate for his career. You know, it would just be consistent for him.
I mean, Morata's career, I think it's fair to say his peak was when he was at Juventus. So I wouldn't be upset at that at all. I mean, I think that'd be a good signing. I mean,
especially if he could be had for under 50 million.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with the prices we're talking about right now, anything under like 40 would be apparently a bargain, which I cannot believe we're like at that point. But yeah, I wouldn't be upset at all. I mean, it would be.
It's hysterical how we thought that these numbers would go down because of all of the economic turmoil that the virus has wrought everywhere. And then you see Raul Jimenez, you know, this could very well be just like a protective number that Wolves slapped on Raul Jimenez, being like, oh, you want him? Give it, you're not going to do this. You know, kind of the way they do in Spain with the buyback, with the buyout clauses, because in Spain you have to have one. So you just make it like 700 million.
That's actually Chuck's buyout clause, by the way. 700 million.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But it's amazing. Any other podcast wants him. That's going to be the
Come on, Viola Nation. If you want him,
yeah.
700 million.
to see these numbers continue to go to the absurd levels that they were on before the shutdown, to see these is a little weird to me. I really thought that we weren't going to be seeing things quite so stupid.
It's insane.
Like, I just keep thinking, you know, Ronaldinho for 35 million.
Back in the day.
And you're like, whoa. Can you imagine what a 25-year-old Ronaldinho would be today?
Yeah, no, it'd be like over 100 mil. It's
over 100 mil? Like, it'd be like 4 or 5. Like, you can't even equate that nowadays. Like,
yeah,
you
know, no, it's insane.
Zinedine Zidane from Juve to Real Madrid, if that transfer happened today, like, what would that look like?
It's insane. Like, I think we were talking about it in the Slack, in our Slack group and during the week, but it was about this like rumored swap deal between Daniele Rugani and Hector Bellerin with Arsenal. And they were valuing Daniele Rugani, and all in all, like super bench guy. Like, I mean, a guy who plays very little, like an end of the bench type of guy. And they were valuing him at 25 mil, 30. And it's like, that's insane.
Don't let them know.
Oh, no, sorry. That's
Arsenal fans, they'll hear you.
Arsenal fans, he's great. He's about to take the next step. I know.
Yeah, no. I would say he's better than Maldini ever was, honestly.
You're getting a guy that's right on the cusp of really greatness. So yeah, take him off our hands. I mean, 25 mil, what a bargain, right?
Yeah. We just can't. His wages are just too high for us, so we just can't hold on to him any longer.
Take him, please. But like, I mean, it's insane. If a bench guy is worth that much, like, how much is a you know, guy like Demiral worth? How much is Bonucci worth? I mean, what are we talking about here? So it's going to be a pretty hectic transfer season, I think. Interesting, at least.
I mean, it's already interesting if you look at, like, the Arthur Pjanic deal, and you look at the friends. Someone wrote a really great article about the actual raw finances of it, and it was something weird of, like, both teams were able to, like, claim, like, 100 mil gain somehow because of the way football clubs evaluate how much a player is worth as an asset to a corporation, which was super fascinating. And there was a lot of, you know, financialese that I did not understand. But it's really interesting, especially when you incorporate swaps, because if with something like a swap, I think clubs can actually value players as much higher than they are. So like in a swap deal, if we need Daniele Rugani to be worth 60 million, he's worth 60 million as long as the other club is okay with it. You know what I mean? And then they get to claim an asset that's worth that much, but they got it for an asset that's, you know, it's like kind of weird. Basically money laundering, like,
creative accounting is my old accounting.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
isn't that kind of what put Parma into bankruptcy a couple years ago?
Like, yeah, I know, but they did the illegal way where they didn't bribe the right people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, that's basically how I see it. Like, it's just weird shady accounting that doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah, this is not technically illegal, which is
not technically illegal,
which is exactly the way you want to you know, describe the finances of your club, you know, not technically illegal. It's going to be great. It's just going to be really, really fun, I think.
Yeah, whenever I see such, I guess you can call it financial gymnastics or accounting gymnastics like this, I keep thinking of that, you know, once great, well, still great movie, Big Lebowski, and I just keep thinking of that time when he walks into the room and he says, "Where's the money, Lebowski?" I just keep thinking of that. And it's just like, where is the money? Where's all this money coming
from? And then immediately after that, you get the classic South Park line, and it's gone.
It's financial gymnastics. Does that mean Paratici's doing some backflips or something, Chuck?
More than that. With like no gravity backflips and like, I don't know.
Is that why he's had such a terrible mercato the last few years? He's just too focused on the balance beam.
That's right.
He's just trying to show off that he can get the best players on a free as possible.
Yeah.
But doesn't realize that and squad building do not go hand in hand.
Yeah. That's been Paratici's problem, is that he's, you know, he can make some interesting deals, but he doesn't have the same sense of squad building that Beppe Marotta has.
Well, that's the other thing, is that, like, there's a new guy that's supposed to be working with him now that was, like, the Primavera coach or part of the scouting network. So now that guy is going to be working. Like, basically, he's going to decide this is the player we want, and Paratici's got to make the deal happen. So he's no longer going to be, like, pulling the strings dolo, if you would.
Yeah.
At least that's what I read.
So, in other transfer news, the Gonzalo Higuain, Sami Khedira saga. Mm-hmm. Do you want to call it a saga? I guess we can call it a saga where Juventus are now, I think they're, it's pretty well established that they're trying to get rid of Higuain and Kedira. Sami Kedira and Gonzalo Higuain, rightfully or wrongly, however you want to view it, want to get their full money. So wrap it up on this. Obviously, we know that Kedira has been very much not contributing in terms of goals.
Medical fees alone. Okay.
Oh, you mean the best player ever?
Oh, Sami Kedira, do not doubt him. He is the greatest that has ever lived. Sorry, I just saw the medical doctor. I did an eye test.
Sorry, club in joke.
Basically, we had this long-running rumor that the only reason Sami Kedira kept getting contract extensions is because he has, like, blackmail material on Yelly. And we ruled out it being Allegri after he was still on the team when we got Sarri. But there's still potential that it was Allegri because Allegri did keep playing him. In terms of Sami Kedira, he doesn't deserve anything and he really needs to just stop being on our team by any means necessary. I think that Higuain has gotten a really unfair deal from us in the last couple of years. I mean, we've been clearly trying to offload him unsuccessfully. I think we should have like let one of the teams just pull the trigger on him. Hopefully nobody really wanted to, unfortunately. And I think we got our money's worth out of Higuain. I think Sami Kedira needs to just go. Higuain, you know, if he wants all of his money, then like, I guess like let him sit on the bench for another year, but like get Kedira out of here. Get him out. I'll come pick him up.
I'll agree 100% with you on the Higuain front. I think I mentioned it in my season review for the attacking part of the squad. He got a very rough deal in Juventus. I think he's been like very unfairly maligned for, you know, his price tag because he was overweight that one preseason, and then like no one has ever let him list that.
I missed that Higuain. He scored more goals.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you know, I think he was a good player for Juventus. I think he was, honestly, for what we expected of him last season, he performed pretty okay. So it's not terrible what he did last season. But you know, what the thing I was talking about with some friends the other day was like, these guys are super competitive guys, and when Sami Kedira actually like put that Instagram post like, I'm looking forward for like next year and like, you know, being like a big part of the squad, like I actually believe he really believes that. Like, he really thinks that I had a bad year because of injuries, whatever, and if he has a contract, it, like, I get that from the fan perspective, like, we don't want him here anymore, like he's old, he's like injury prone, like we don't need him. But you know, it's hard for me to be like, he should just like abandon that contract, I guess. Like, if we gave him that contract, why wouldn't he want to?
That's totally fair.
I mean,
that's a fair point. I mean, like,
it's an unfair position, I think, for everyone, for the players, for the club. It's an awkward position, and it sucks that it got to this point, because at one point Kedira was actually really good. Like, he was a good signing, but you know, it's
yeah, that one hat trick.
Didn't he have two hat tricks?
Sassuolo, I'm pretty sure, one of them.
Sassuolo and Udinese, he had two hat-tricks.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. It's a weird predicament. It's an unfair situation for the players, for the club. It sucks that it had to like come to this, I guess.
I mean, I guess my conclusion after you know, and I definitely agree with that, because, you know, from a player perspective, they don't intend on being injured, and they do intend on playing the best they can. You know, Stefano Sturaro did not want to just lose the ball in front of him. He did not mean to do that. It just happened, just like Sami Kedira's injuries. He doesn't mean to get injured. But that being said, like, you know, you got your money's worth out of J Medical, buddy. I mean, I swear, like, the amount of research dollars that went into trying to fix that man are probably worth more than we ever paid him, or he was ever paid, period, throughout the entirety of his career, if you take all of that money together in medical fees. So, yeah, again, Higuain, I think Higuain, if we're going to let him go, if we're going to release him, like, I would say he deserves his money for the year. We put him through hell, even though the finances are not necessarily there. This is something that we're going to have to eat, and we're going to have to eat it if this guy is not going to go. quietly into the night. Sami Khedira does not necessarily deserve that same, whatchamacallit, let's say leniency from me, in my opinion, just because I've been so hurt by his knees in the past.
And calves and hamstrings.
And sides. It's just like head, shoulders, knees, and toes with this guy. You know what I mean?
We'll wrap things up there. I want to thank Tal for coming on the show, and best of luck. Hopefully you get to book some trips to Turin soon. And
Short term, I'm just hoping to have a beer with the rest of my Juventini at Legends.
Amen.
And, you know, be able to hug my fellow Juventini without having to quarantine for 14 days afterwards. That's kind of, you know, let's start there and then get back to Turin. Again, thanks guys so much for having me on. It's been a real blast. And anyone interested, please check us out on our socials, which I'm sure will be somehow linked in here. And JuventusClubEmpireState.com, where you can find everything, including sign up information.
And I'll get our plugs in as well. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts and iTunes, search Black and White and Red All Over, and we will pop up. Feel free to subscribe, like, and rate us. You can also listen to us on Spotify and Google Podcasts. We also are on all of the socials, so pretty easy to find us there. So for Sam, for Chucks, for Sergio, and for Tal, this is Danny saying thank you very much for listening. Stay safe out there, and we'll talk to you guys next time.